B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
5-15-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show. Thanks.
Dragon's
Fool. How much weight have you lost, Dad, since the keto diet?
Small one.
Oh, really?
So bring the compost and brew it. Get the dog bones ready.
Many French fries.
Oh, I'd forgotten all about that song.
Let's remember Bobby Orr, who gave his bones to the garden floor.
Garden floor.
Get the duck boats ready.
That's not the part that is. Let's remember number four.
Let's remember Bobby Orr.
Left his bones out on the floor.
That's what bothers me.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. Ty Anderson is in for Rich Shirtlieb. Billy Jaffe is going to be in studio. It's going to be a hockey orgy up in this place.
I didn't sign up for that.
Nope. That's, you know, sometimes, you know, you always have the option of tapping out. In this Me Too environment, you always have the opportunity to tap out. But it's going to be an exciting time. Now, all right, so what happened yesterday, Wallach? There's fighting and road rage?
Yeah, Bert and I go north on Marcy Boulevard. There is a rotary, and then you get onto Route 93. And after you go around the rotary and take the turn to get onto 93.
It's Interstate 93.
Yes. Okay, Interstate 93.
I don't even think it's Route 93.
The expressway. Is
because I know 128 is a route that they make, they make it very confusing because they refuse to refer to the interstate system. That
correct. Between Canton and, say, Lynn, right around there, it's 128 around the loop. It's not 95.
So yeah. Route 93 does not exist.
Okay. 93 North,
You've
the expressway.
Your entire life.
Yes.
And Route 93 does not exist.
It's 93.
It's an interstate highway system that was developed by the federal government, but go ahead.
Okay, so we're there right before you are about to get onto the on-ramp. There's a lot of traffic in the roundabout there, in the rotary, and so we're all waiting a long time. There's a long line of cars. Bert is in front of me, and there is a white van in front of both of us. And there's always one jackass that decides he's too cool to wait in line and decides to loop around all of us illegally in the left-hand lane and then cut everybody off as he gets onto the on-ramp. Well, the white van wasn't having any of this and decided to stay right next to the sports car and try to cut him off before he made the turn. And so finally, the guy driving the sports car had enough. He stopped the car, got out, and rushed the van and started yelling at him. The van driver leaned out of his window and started yelling back. Now, here's the point where I should have stopped, got my camera out, and filmed something for the show. Instead, I was too tired and decided to loop around them and leave them yelling at each other and got on the expressway and drove home.
Now, did Bird do anything?
Because I do not know the answer
trained.
To that.
He's trained in those matters.
No, I was just laughing the whole time. Because I thought I heard like a... I thought they scraped cars.
I didn't see that.
I thought that I heard a noise, and I saw the guy in the sports car get out with his arms up like this, like Kermit the Frog, like, yee, like screaming at the guy in the van.
All right. And so...
And Walk was in back of me, and I was driving like 2 miles an hour to see what was going on, and I just kept going.
All right. So there was no fight? They didn't fight each other?
I don't think so. Just a bunch of yelling.
All right. Well, you got to expect a fight in that instance.
Van guy's a hero.
Yeah.
Absolute hero. Don't let those people in. Trying to cut you off, trying to cut off traffic? Absolutely not.
Seriously, you're sitting in a line for 10 minutes, and no one likes it. It's a pain in the ass. And around here, traffic is a way of life, Ty Anderson, as you well know.
I hate it.
And, well, congratulations on skipping all of it this morning.
Oh, beautiful commute today. No fights, nothing. Nobody on the road. It's great.
All right, so because usually your commute, you like to take pictures of it and put it on Twitter.
That's true.
I do. It's like a thread now. It's like, this is 1:30 p.m. on a Wednesday. Why is this happening? Because it makes no sense at all.
Here's a bunch of cars going nowhere.
Because you have to go through a tunnel.
Yeah, it's the only way. It's the only way in, it's the only way out. It's really awful.
There's no possible way you could avoid the tunnel.
I know Murray's taken a few, because we kind of come from the same way. I know that he's taken some alternate routes, but I think that ultimately you have to go through 93. Unless I wanted to go around everything and cut through Brighton and go on the Mass Pike, which seems like it'd be just as long, just a different way. I still have to deal with that 93 to get to Dorchester. I have to deal with that at some point. It's a matter of how long. But the tunnel is hell. Sometimes I'm down in the tunnel for like half an hour.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, well, I'm now a tunnel person. I have tunnel friends, and we're going to live down here now.
That would be a panic attack. That would be my entire time down in that tunnel would be spent trying to keep my sanity. There's no way I could do that. Never in a million years sit in a tunnel for that long. I'd have to move. I would really have to. Where do you live?
I live in Medford right now.
Oh, well, that's on you. But I...
Where should I move?
Anywhere but Medford.
Some place that does not require you going underground.
So you wanted the station to get bought by iHeartRadio very badly, probably.
That would have been very nice.
Because that's in Medford.
I wasn't here at the time when that whole thing was happening. But yeah, if I could go back in time, that'd be great. My commute would be 3 minutes. I'd still be late to everything, but
you know. I'm fascinated why this building was built in Dorchester. Why, and at the time, it was not Beasley that owned the cluster. It was Greater Media, and they have stations in Detroit and stuff. And they decided that they were going to build. What my understanding is that the Globe and this television station, and then us was supposed to be this triumvirate of media.
Ah,
and then the TV station has been abandoned for I don't know how many years, and the Globe now is being turned into some multi-structural concept that's going to be a bunch of crap that's not media, and this building has been bought, and so it's only a matter of time before we move.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully somewhere closer to my house.
I don't see an option where that wouldn't be.
It's true. They could put us on the South Shore somewhere in Hingham, I suppose. Yeah, that's farther away for everybody.
No, I mean, but what is there structurally? Like, how could they put us in Hingham?
I don't know.
Like, it's not like they're, you know, going crazy building industrial complexes in Hingham.
Yep.
You figure it would have to be west of the city, right?
It would have to be that area, right? Like Needham or
yeah.
That Framingham, Natick kind of area, right?
Oh, like don't tease me.
That's what's getting built up, though, right?
Don't you dare tease me like that.
Yeah, I think it's Needham.
Perfect.
Isn't that where NBC is moving?
I believe so. I believe NBC is moving there.
Commute would be 11 minutes. It would be great.
Well, that was Brighton for me.
Yep.
Is that Brighton was a joy. This is hell. Hell. You should see the people on the street when I'm driving in. A lot of fun. Playing Frogger. Trying not to hit people in the street.
A lot of zombies walking around.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah.
I get the person, when you get off 93, they come up to the window, and if you don't have money, they just start swearing at you. I go, what am I supposed to do? I don't have anything.
Well, you should not give the money anyway.
That's what I mean.
No, it's you don't give the people on the street the money. My goodness gracious. Give it to a reputable charity. At least you can get a tax break. You don't get a tax break giving the guy coming up to your window anything. But, my trip here is, at a certain point, Frogger, where I'm trying desperately not to hit pedestrians. Now, it's a lot better now that it's light. It's a lot easier, but those winter months are a challenge.
Still people riding bikes, though, in the winter, which is the crazy part.
Well, yeah, they're never adult bikes. They're always children bikes. And they love coming out from behind trucks. That happened to me on the way home yesterday. This guy just came out from behind a truck on a bike. just driving right into traffic, right the opposite way into traffic, right there in the lane.
He's trying to earn a paycheck. He gets hit by you. He sues you. He gets a bunch of money.
Yeah, but that's a dangerous game to play. See, I'm driving it.
If you survive, well, you it's awesome. Much.
That's right.
Driving a 2-ton vehicle or something of that nature. I don't need to. I mean, that's a game that you're not going to win.
I got smashed by a car when I was like 13 on a bike. It was awful. It was like the scariest thing that's ever happened to me. I was like too afraid to like, I got out and I was like, I'm sorry. Even though they hit me with their moving vehicle, yeah. I apologize. So
yeah, well, you know, that's rough. But, you know, there's bike lanes and things of that nature. There's no need to just drive the opposite way into traffic. But, you know, you got to keep you on your toes. It wakes you up. All right. So we'll go over everything that happened last night. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
On the Sports Hub app. Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Up. We're Toucher and Rich. All right, Dan, what's going on?
Just thought to add to your misery this morning, I'd be happy that you're not driving because there's now a disabled vehicle inside the tunnel going 93 south, so Sumner Tunnel. If you are driving that way.
If
so,
you're driving through a tunnel,
can you imagine being like
mind.
The third or fourth car behind it, though, that then ends up being the one that can't go anywhere else? There's nowhere else for you to go.
Yeah, you're trapped. You're trapped underground
trapped.
Or yes. Under the water. Which one? Is that under the water or under the ground?
This one appears to be under the ground. Callahan and O'Neill tunnels go under the water.
Okay, so this is one under the ground.
Yes. This is the best. The Big Dig, which is supposed to solve all our traffic problems. It was pretty bad when it was an elevator that went through downtown Boston. What they've done is they have the exact same traffic problems, if not worse, in Boston. They've just moved it underground. That's
right.
All it is.
So it's moved into more of a nightmare.
Yes. Yes. At least if you were in traffic on the elevated, you could, like, look at things and see big buildings. Now,
yeah.
You see nothing.
Or you have the opportunity to, like, yes. Walk out of it.
Yes.
Like, if you really had to, you could walk out of it. I'm convinced that those doors in the tunnels don't go anywhere.
I've often wondered where those doors actually lead.
Yeah.
Is there that invisible grate that you can push up and, like, oh, I'm downtown. I'm on State Street.
Or especially if like, you're underwater. Like, what the hell is that tunnel? Like,
that's a good point. Yeah.
Where's that door going to take you?
I don't want that door opened. If it's underwater, I don't want that door open.
Yeah, I don't understand what it's supposed to do. Does it take you to a place that you, because the one to the airport, I mean, that's like 3 miles on 3 miles mm-hmm. long.
Correct.
And so you're like in a tiny enclosed area for 3 miles.
Maybe that door's just a bathroom for stranded motorists.
All right. You want to hear from Trainwreck?
Okay.
Our resident comedian. Yeah. Hello, Trainwreck.
Hey, Fred.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, it's a good day today. Check this out. I just bought my daughter a mobile home, an older one down the road from in our park here. And it was the most humiliating thing I ever heard. I put homeowner's insurance on, and they asked me if they had a VIN number on it because the house is on wheels. And I was serious. They needed it. So it's cool. It's a good day. Hey, I haven't talked to you guys in a while. You should call the midday show. Is that cool? Hey, hello?
Yeah.
You guys there?
Yeah. Our lack of laughter is because you've said something humorous.
I did? Oh, check this out. I'm on assignment today. So I'm sitting here on 128, right? You know 128, the one that doesn't move?
Yeah.
It's called the morning commute. It's called the morning parking lot.
128,
anyway,
yes.
Anyway, I got to work, and my coworkers asked me if I'd been tanning. I'm like, no. No, it's just the morning commute. I've been sitting on 128 with brake lights. I should have worn sunblock. Oh, no. O'Neill Tunnel? Oh, good Lord. That's a whoa, Nelly. So what have you guys been up to? John, what have you been up to?
Just hanging out, waiting for your phone call, Trainwreck.
The suntan from the brake lights was too funny. We can't move on. We have to move on. All right. So everyone knows that Dano Chara was injured. He had the bloody face. And as they turn to tomorrow night at home against St. Louis, here is what Mr. Cassidy had to say.
Bruce, do you have any update on Dano Chara? Nope. Nothing new. Obviously, he's got to get back to Boston, get looked at a little closer, and we'll go from there.
All right, here's the deal with Chara is that we found out that he has a broken jaw. And Ty, we were talking about this or just briefly off the air, is that he's going to play through this, I would imagine.
He is an absolute psychopath, and he will play through this. I'm almost certain that he will. Whether or not he's in the lineup for Game 5 is a different story, but he will play, I think, at least Game 6. This has happened before. Derek Stepan did this for the Rangers in 2014, and I think Chara's situation is a lot more dire in the sense that I don't think he's going to have another chance to win a Stanley Cup after this year. I think this is his last chance, and he knows that. So, 42 years old, I think he's going to do everything he can to play. I really do see him playing through this.
All right, so would his jaw be wired shut, or can they kind of push that off a little bit?
So it all depends if his jaw is indeed broken, which I think we all have to believe at this point. I don't see why that would be a lie. Everything sort of checks out in that realm. It all depends what kind of break it is. I think that he can play through this. It's a matter of how is his conditioning? Can he breathe right? Can he do the things he needs to do for this team to be in the lineup? And I think that he's gonna do everything he can to make that happen. And I think that's why you may see the Bruins change your lineup for Thursday night and have seven defensemen and have him be one of those seven. In the event that he can't go, okay, here's the next guy. He slides right up and he's a spectator again.
Okay, so you think that they would risk putting seven defensemen out there based on just the opportunity to have Chara?
I think that they're going to have seven defensemen whether or not Chara plays. Like, I think if Chara plays, they're going to have seven defensemen. But even if he doesn't, I could see them rolling 7D and dropping a forward. I mean, think about Backes. What has Backes done in this series?
Yeah, that whole second line.
Exactly. So you sit Backes, you move a play, you sort of double shift a member of your third line with DeBrusk and Krejci, or you move Pastrnak down there if you need to, and there you go. You have 11 forwards. You're going to play those 11 forwards no matter what, and now you have backup in the sense that, okay, if you go with the left side defenseman, it's going to be one of the young kids, Vaakanainen, Lozon, or Zaboral. And then you dress Kampfer as well in case one of those young players isn't ready for the moment. That's with or without Chara. But if you have Chara in, you dress Kampfer and you hope Chara can contribute in some way, shape, or form.
How much can you really lean on any of those three kids? I think Lozon played more than anybody else, but he hasn't played since December. None of these kids really have. And you're really asking a 22-year-old kid who hasn't played a lot of NHL games, let alone, you know, in the last 3 or 4 months, to step in Game 5 of a Stanley Cup final instead of just adding Steven Kampfer and being a little more relaxed about this?
I think that you look at their roster, their left side right now, without Char and without Grizzlick, it's Torrey Krug and John Moore. And John Moore hasn't... John Moore played 19 minutes in Game 4. That's the most he's played in 3 months. Like, they don't want to play John Moore 19 minutes a night. They have to right now.
Wouldn't you rather have an experienced NHL defenseman, regardless of how you feel about him, over a rookie who really has no idea what this is about and hasn't played an NHL game in 6 months?
Well, what's the other option?
Regardless of whether or not you have a right stick playing on the left side or not. I understand the Bruins prefer that, but, I mean, we're in desperate times here. I would rather have Kampfer play on his offside than one of these kids in the most important game of the season.
I would rather have seven defensemen and 11 forwards. The only reason you've lost games in this series is because you've lost a defenseman.
That is true. When they've been down to five defensemen, they've run out of gas at the end of games. So
dress Chara and Kampfer instead of one of the kids.
Yeah, I mean that's possible. But if Chara can't go, I still think you should do seven defensemen and get rid of Backes. I love David Backes as a person. As a player, he's given you nothing, and Cassie doesn't want to play him. He hasn't played more than 10 minutes at all in this entire series. And he's allegedly your second-line winger. So get rid of that and put another defenseman in because I know that that defenseman is going to add more value than David Backes is right now.
All right, what are you hearing about Grizzlick?
I don't think he's coming back this for Game 5, maybe Game 6. But the fact that he's not skating or practicing yet with the team, typically you need to get one good practice in before you can rejoin the team after a concussion. Maybe he gets that in today. We'll see. But I have my doubts personally. So I really do. And the fact that Cassie didn't bring him up when mentioning their options in the event that Chara is injured, I found telling. He would have sort of thrown his name in there, I think, personally, if he was available for Game 5. So I think he's out for that one as well.
All right. Here is Cassidy talking about players playing through injuries.
It's a Stanley Cup, Joe. That's it. I don't have a better answer for you. I think I know where you're going, and we've been together long or done this long enough that I suspect for every player it's to get their name on the Stanley Cup. It's that simple, and they don't want to let their teammates down if you've made it this far. Usually you're a pretty tight team if you're playing into June, so that's usually the case in my experience.
Joe Haggerty getting a lot of love, a lot of one-on-one attention from these guys, even if it's busting balls. Are you noticing that, Ty, when you were in the media scrums, that Joe Haggerty is getting a lot of love?
Oh, he always gets roasted. He gets roasted, but it's always like they nudge him after.
Yeah. But is it because he used to wear puka shell necklaces?
Every day's a beach. Every day is a day on the beach for Joe Haggerty.
But he used to really wear puka shell necklaces.
Yeah, I think he used to wear flip-flops, right, too? Like, that was, like, a thing.
Yes. No, that was a thing. I don't know if he's busted out the Star Wars jackets yet. Has he done that?
So he busted out on May 4th against when they played, I think it was the Blue Jackets. It was, like, Game 5 or whatever. And do you guys know Rear Admiral from Barstool?
Yes.
You know, he has, like, the most Boston accent you've ever heard in your entire life?
Yeah.
He walked by Hags and goes, "Whoa, now this is the droid I'm looking for." And it was easily the hardest I've ever laughed in my entire life at anything. Because the accent was just so over the top. But yeah, he wore that suit, man, and he rocks it. He has zero shame when he wears it. And I wish I could be like that in public, but I can't.
Now what
he's
is
even shaped like R2-D2.
Yeah,
like,
he really is.
Perfect.
Now what is the it's an R2-D2 suit?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's a full R2-D2, like it has like it doesn't have like the you can't press the buttons, but like, you know, it has what looks like all the buttons on there and all the like the markings of R2-D2's shell. I don't know
because he loves minor league jerseys that are from Star Wars nights, and he has to hide them from his wife because they're such a great expense that he's afraid that she's going to turn around and admonish him.
What is it? They're legit like $100 to $150 a pop, these shirts.
Yeah,
he's got like 6, 7, 8 of them and it's buried in the back of his closet.
But they're all very cool looking. He shows me them when he buys them. I'm like, oh, I like that one.
Yeah, well.
That was his first question that night, actually.
If he could fit in them, that would be a different story. All right, we'll have more about the Bruins, plus the Red Sox played last night. We will have that for you as well. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get the app, get the Sports Hub, get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
.985 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And remember, tomorrow we have tickets for the game Thursday. Game 5. Will Chara play? We'll find out. But the way you'll win tickets tomorrow is when you hear this.
I can't find it. Hold on.
It's the
Jitterbug.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
That's from, okay.
That's the one. Right there. What you had it.
That's an isolation.
Oh, okay. Well, do you have the actual song?
I can't find it. Hold on.
All right. Well, you look for the song. When you hear the Brad Marchand, Wake Me Up Before You Go, we will. You will be caller number 63, which will put Bird into a frenzy, and I mean that is going to be not happy for the Bird.
We need a video of that.
Yeah, of him. You just put that on Twitch of just him frantically going through the lines.
We got the thumbs up from Nick. Nick, can we make that happen?
Yeah, just all right, him good. Frantically going through the lines and trying to figure something out. But that will be the situation tomorrow when you hear Mr. Marchand. Well, Mr. Marchand talked yesterday about the injuries this team is suffering.
You can't look at that and say, you know, we can write that off because of, you know, missing a player or two. You got to come together. You got to do whatever you can to make it work. And, you know, they're not going to stop trying. They're still going to push. So we have to do the same.
And David Pastrnak has just been a fuel of wonderful quotes this year. And yesterday was no different.
Yeah, well, obviously, in this time of the year, you're always going to have some bumps, you know, you know, it's hockey, and you'll be really, really lucky if you be 100% healthy with the full team. So, you know, we're just going to suck it in, or whatever, can I say that? suck it up, and play through it, you know, and how I said, prepare for game five.
Yeah, suck it in or suck it out. Now he's becoming like a Balky situation.
Right.
Where he will show up at the house and be like, what's up, guys? And then he'll go, and then the girls will be there, and he's like, hey, guys, I have a cold. I have to go to the big dance. And they'll say, what happened? He goes, I got to suck it in. And then everyone will have a laugh at his inability to master the English language.
Monopoly?
Yes. And then he'll ask the girls on the date, and then eventually they'll fall in love with him because they'll realize how charming he is.
This all has to do with the bit that you really desperately want.
I don't know how it hasn't been done.
This is just another example. This is, you've just laid it all out.
There's a lot of exactly behind-the-scenes stuff going on. It'll happen.
Okay, there are behind-the-scenes things
all right.
Going
Mitch
on.
And I have been working on it. It's happening.
All right,
okay,
all
because
right.
I desperately want David Pastrnak to play the role of a crazy neighbor.
What is the best thing you eat before a game?
Pasta. Pasta? Pasta. Pasta bolognese, my favorite thing. Pasta meat sauce for lunch and pasta.
Very fitting. Thanks, Pasta.
Thanks. Thanks.
Thanks.
So, yo, what's up, guys?
Yeah, that's what I want. And people
hey, it's
have made,
Balky.
People have made great photoshops of him at the window.
Yeah,
just you know.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Yeah, sticking his head in. What's up, guys? And then you know, there's something going on.
Can he be like the neighbor in Home Improvement with the eyes above the fence?
No, you see his eyes. Come on, John. He's not a man of wisdom.
I'm sorry.
What will happen is that like someone will be finally they'll get some time with their wives, like in every sitcom that is the dream. Like the kids will be out, and then they'll finally like they'll light some candles and they're about to knock boots, and then here comes David Pastrnak.
Yo, what's up, guys?
And then everyone laughs, and then he goes, he's going to make them dinner, and what's he going to make them?
Pasta.
All right, and so then, he, you know, that's his role, is that he's like, or maybe there's, Jack's got a hot date over, and Pastrnak knows that there's twins over at the Regal Beagle. Like, he knows there's a pair of twins. And he's biting his fist.
Ah.
And then Pastrnak, you know, he's like, he comes in and he says this.
Yo, what's up, guys?
And then he goes, I'm trying to cook for, I got a big meal I got to cook. And he's like, Jack, I'm talking about twins. I got the booby twins downstairs. I'm talking about twins.
Pasta meat sauce for lunch. And
that's right.
Pasta.
That's how he would seduce them. All right.
Thanks.
All right. So not 100% healthy. Now, Ty, you said earlier you think that he would play Char with a broken jaw.
Yeah, I can see it happening. I just don't think he wants to take himself out of action at all. When he blocked that shot with his ankle against Carolina, I want to say it was game one, or I think it was game one. He blocks a shot with his ankle and he's in the locker room after. And I was talking to a few people and I said, even if he was hurt, would he sit right now? And I was told, no, if he had a broken leg, he would just stay in his equipment and be like, I'm going to play. Like, he realizes, again, that this is it for him.
All right, what did you make of him going on the bench with the full cage on?
I think that he thought, okay, maybe I can try to will my way into this lineup. I really did think that he was sitting there going, maybe I can do this. If it gets dire enough, I can turn to Cassidy and say, hey, let me go out there for a shift. And it never happened. And maybe if they were protecting a one-goal lead late, maybe it would have happened. But I think the fact that he wanted to be out there, it speaks to the idea that he really wants to give this a go. Even though he knows that he's not 100%, even though he knows that he probably shouldn't be playing, he really wants to see if he can actually play through this.
All right, so we don't know if they'd wire his jaw shut, and but that's what you would believe would happen.
I would have to assume so. I mean, again, it all depends on what the break is, right? Or where the fracture is, what kind of fracture it is, all that. But you look at him in game four, he couldn't talk. It was very clear that he was sitting there, and it wasn't just, oh, this is stoic Chara. He was looking like, I can't talk right now. And then when he got up and he was trying to rally the troops, you can kind of see, it looked like he was kind of gritting through his teeth, if you will. So I think that there's something seriously going on there with his jaw. And for me, it's not about can he talk. It's about can he breathe? Can he actually exert himself physically without feeling like he's going to pass out because he can't breathe out of his face?
Do you think that they told him to go to the hospital and he said, go screw? Like, I'm going to sit on the bench?
I think the fact that he was out there said, no, I'm going to be out there. I think, again, Cassie said that he said the doctors recommended he not be out there, but he put the cage on. I think he put the cage on, A, in the event that he went out there, B, because he's going to be on the bench, and if he gets hit with the puck, it's going to make things worse. But I do think that he said, no, I'm going to be out there. And he tried to provide whatever support he could. They needed him on the ice more than they needed him on the bench. I think clearly you look at the way their defense played over the final two periods. But ultimately, I think he just wants to be there for his team whatever way possible right now.
Can they win two games without him? Suppose worst case scenario, doctor doesn't give him clearance for whatever reason and he can't play. Can the Bruins beat this team twice without him?
It's going to take a lot of things. It's going to take a lot to change, I think. Namely, your top six is going to have to do something. They have 0 points right now, 5-on-5, all six of them. Nobody has gotten on the board with a 5-on-5 point from that entire group. That has to change. I think this team is good enough to get by without him for two games, but not if the Sean Crye line is the only line going and the Coyle line is also going. You need Krejci to get going. You need Bergeron and Marchand and Pastrnak to get going. Without those guys, you're not gonna beat this team without Chara. It's as simple as that, in my opinion.
So how banged up do you think Bergeron is?
I don't think he's that banged up. Because he scores a goal in game three, and then he's flying the rest of the night. He looked amazing. He wins 11 out of 19 draws. He is the first one in, the first one out, supporting the attack, supporting the defenseman back there. I thought that he was great in game three. I think it's confidence more than anything else right now. And I think that he might be limited a little bit, but I don't think it's taken away from his game entirely. I think when you watch him, he just needs... When the game is going the way he wants it to go, he looks amazing. When it's not, we go, oh, he's hurt. I think the truth is somewhere in the middle there, where I think that when he gets on the board production, he feels a lot better, and it doesn't weigh him down mentally. So there might be something there, but I don't think it's enough to completely limit him like you saw in game four and in game two.
You would think that being a veteran and having the success he's had, that he could get over the mental aspect of it, but we shall see. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Wow. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The best is when Dan Roach said, oh, I got some audio that David Pastrnak talking about you guys. And then we played it and it was nothing.
Nothing to do with us.
Nothing to do with us at all. It just was just him talking about some crap.
Have you seen his new thing this playoffs that he's been doing? He's been swallowing his gum before doing an interview.
It's getting old.
Yeah, it's not.
Dan Roach, yeah, he's got a little shtick going.
Yeah,
that stays in your stomach for the rest of your life, you know. All right, Stephen A. Smith talking about Kyrie Irving.
Over the last several hours, I have learned that Kyrie Irving has given every indication to the Brooklyn Nets that is where he wants to go, not the New York Knicks. As a result of Kyrie Irving, if indeed, because I don't know, I have not spoken to Kyrie Irving, have not spoken to Kevin Durant. Let me be very, very clear. Haven't spoken to Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris. I'm working. I haven't spoken to them. But understand something. It's very, very important. I need everybody to understand, because y'all all basketball fans, understand how the dominoes fall. Kyrie Irving, if indeed it is true, and we don't know that, if he decides to go to Brooklyn, KD ain't interested in going to Brooklyn. And as a result, the belief is that KD will either go to New York without him, convince him to come to New York, or settle for somebody like a Kemba Walker, or KD may decide to stay in Golden State.
All right, now...
I'm a bootlegging hitman to the court.
He's fantastic. He loves butts. Now, would anyone care to... Has anyone read the Anthony Davis's preferred destinations? Has
no.
anyone read them? Okay, one, two, three, four. He has four destinations. Would anyone guess what they are?
Lakers?
Yes.
New Orleans is not one of the four.
No.
Knicks?
Yep.
Why does he want to go to the Knicks?
Because they're in New York.
Because it's New York. That's
the
all.
Worst run franchise in sports.
All right, you have Lakers, Knicks. Who else?
Brooklyn's got to be another one,
nope.
right? No.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Lakers, Knicks.
I want to say Celtics.
Nope. Does not want to come to the Celtics.
Clippers?
Yes, and there's one more that you'll never guess.
Memphis.
Nope.
Well, that just went off the board.
Spurs?
The Bucks.
Of course, yeah.
His destinations are Lakers, yeah. Knicks, Bucks, or Clippers. Is where he would like to go.
Real quick on Kyrie Irving. He's willing to go to Brooklyn alone. So Brooklyn has a talented young core of players with an up-and-coming head coach. I've never heard of him doing that before. I'm sure I smell success. This is Bill Simmons from yesterday. I'm kind of stealing his take. But that's exactly the situation he was just in.
Yeah.
Why in God's name would he want to go to Brooklyn to do that with more intense media coverage?
Well, mind if I ruin this real quick?
Yeah, he's from New Jersey.
Yeah.
He's too far from New Jersey. If he was in Brooklyn, he'd just be right around the corner.
So that's it. He wants a car ride instead of a plane ride home with the exact same situation. He just blew to pieces.
No, he's too far away from his home in New Jersey.
Okay.
It's been his lifelong dream to play for the Clippers. Or the Clippers, for the Nets. Because when he was growing up, I mean, the Nets were a dynasty. The way they weren't there.
Keith Van Horn.
Yeah.
Casey
Keith
Kidd.
Van Horn.
Jason Kidd, yeah.
Georgia
Scalabrini.
Tech.
Calabrini. That's right, Scal.
Scal hitting shots.
Kerry Kittles. That was a person,
I think,
right?
That's right. Yeah. Yep. I think DeHare was there, too, for a while. That might have been Seton Hall, which is close by.
Chris Noradko, who used to write for Big Brother, had the big sign that said, someone please stab Paul Pierce, that he was holding up in the stands. Was New Jersey the place where they rolled Pierce out in the wheelchair?
No. That was here.
I thought that was against the Lakers.
That was against the Lakers here.
All right, so they rolled him out in a wheelchair, and then he...
magically came back, yes.
Okay.
And, like, immediately hit a three. Like,
yes,
like
that's
right. In the game, like, oh, wow.
Pretty much.
Awesome.
So he's like the Carrot Top of basketball. He was using props.
Yes, he was using the wheelchair as a prop.
But if you're in Milwaukee, this has got to be outstanding.
Well, yeah, it's amazing what happens when you have one of the best players on the planet play for your team.
So it's obviously not a destination thing for him. I mean, it's not like, oh, I want to play in L.A., even though... I mean, or I want to play in a huge market.
No, he wants to. This is not quite Kevin Durant, but he wants to go to a team that he knows is very good. And Milwaukee had the best record in the league this year. And so, you know what? I'm going to go join that team that just won 60 games, and with me, they'll go win a title.
Yeah, but the Lakers aren't good.
They're
all over the place.
That's something else entirely. It's kind of like Kyrie wanting to go to New York. Both, I mean, Brooklyn is much better off than the Knicks are, but neither of them are a threat to win at the moment. So this is Anthony Davis saying, you know what? L.A.'s cool. I want to go to L.A. It's the Lakers. When in reality, whatever Laker vision he has is long gone. It's a terribly run franchise with people that are trying to escape. And a lousy head coach and a lousy core of rookies.
And there's an ownership situation.
Oh,
where they
God.
Don't know if Jeannie Buss is going to sell it. Because they're gonna, it's worth billions of dollars.
You forget Jeannie Buss had to sue her brothers just to maintain control of the franchise about 3 years ago after her dad died. I mean, it's been a dumpster fire now for about 5 years.
Yeah, there's rumors now that she would, because it's worth so much money, that she'd consider selling it.
That might be the best move at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I were Davis and I want to go to L.A., go to the Clippers. Yeah. Like, they made it close against the Warriors.
Better head coach. Yeah. I mean, a head coach that is renowned as being a great, if you're a veteran, a great guy to play for. So if I'm Anthony Davis, and by the way, Kawhi Leonard's going to the Clippers.
Exactly.
He's not staying in Toronto. He wants to go to L.A.
Well, the rumors,
that's where he's from. He's an L.A. guy. He likes that lifestyle. Toronto's a one and done for him.
The rumor is, though, that he bought a property in Toronto.
Yes.
Kawhi did.
Yes, that's the rumor. He's leaving.
All right, I don't understand why, if he's having success in Toronto, and Toronto's a major city, why would he want to leave?
Apparently, this is a different situation than Paul George. Remember Paul George? I'm going to L.A. Nope, I'm staying with Oklahoma City. Apparently, from what I've been reading the last few days, George likes the quiet life. He likes fishing and being on a boat, whatever the case. Those were the two examples that were brought up. And so,
but
apparently,
it's not like
he can get that lifestyle, the quieter lifestyle in Oklahoma City. And once he got there, it's like, oh, okay, this is the kind of place I could hang out in. So he re-signed there. It's different with Leonard. Leonard does have the property in L.A., is from the West Coast,
no,
went to school in San Diego.
He said he just bought property in Toronto.
But he also has a home in L.A. I'm sorry.
Okay, but,
yes,
but the thing is that Toronto, if it was in the United States, would be the third or fourth largest city.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he's playing in a podunk town.
No, but he went to college out there. He's from there. That's the kind of lifestyle he wants to lead. That makes him different than George.
See, Toronto, the thing is that they will always be second place to the Leafs. So it's like he can be a star there and still have like a pretty decent life.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to get bothered everywhere he goes.
When I was in Toronto a couple years ago, people were crazy about the Raptors. Everyone had Raptors gear on. They were going nuts.
I mean, the building is very loud.
Yeah.
I mean, the building is one of the louder buildings in the league.
Plus, you have the biggest nerd in rap just sitting around getting tattoos of Kevin Durant's number.
He's Toronto's global ambassador.
Yeah. I mean, he was on. There's no more Canadian thing than being on Degrassi Junior High. That is the most Canadian thing that you can do in the universe.
That's like the new version of you can't do that with television.
Yeah, that's right. Like, they keep trotting that lady out. The one that they pour the slime on.
Is that Moose?
Yeah, Moose.
Moose.
Which has got to be such a good thing for a teenage girl to be called.
I know.
And like, because it wasn't even like a character on a it was just like, hey, I'm Moose.
You're rather large. We'll call you Moose.
Hey, fatso. You're Moose.
Sit over here while we dump slime on your head.
Yeah. Like, hey, try not to eat the slime, you fat pig. Moose. Can you imagine at that age?
You're 13.
It's one thing being Barf the cook when you're, you know, a man in your 40s.
Right.
He is passed. He is dead. I know that. But then, yeah, that was fairly cruel. I mean, Alistair got to be Alistair. And then you just have Moose. Hey, Chunks, sit down, fatso. All right. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.